Hello, and welcome to the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church podcast. Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church is located in the center of Warren, Michigan, and has been serving the community for over 60 years. It is led by Pastor Tracy Harold and Assistant Pastor Stephen Clark. Now let's take a listen to today's sermon by
Brother Joe Schultz.
If you have your Bibles, open to Romans chapter 1, please. Romans chapter 1. I don't know if you realize this or not, but this is the last service of the year. I just want to say thank you for the opportunity from the teams for allowing me to speak tonight and from Pastor. It's been a privilege to serve the Lord this year. I've been blessed to preach the first Sunday night of this year and also the last Sunday night of this year. So I guess the Lord has something in store. This message I'm going to preach tonight is called Be Not Ashamed. It's been on my heart for a while. It's been a burden. And, you know, I've put a lot of prayer into this. I've been praying for months. The Lord ever gave me an opportunity to speak here again. You know, I had a couple different sermons that I was going to preach tonight. I was thinking about talking about time because of the new year. But the Lord just led me to this message. So my heart's prayer has just been that we'd just get a burden and boldness to stand upon the gospel, that we'd put our gospel armor on, and we'd serve the Lord like these are the last days. And that the Lord would use this church in greater ways than he's ever have before in the future. And then also, if you're not saved here tonight, that you'd fall into spiritual cardiac arrest and that you'd come to the point where you realize your need for a Savior and you'd accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that he could take your stony heart, crush it, and make a new heart. So Romans chapter 1. Now, the book of Romans is written by Paul the Apostle. Now, he's writing from a jail cell while awaiting trial. He's writing to the Roman citizens, telling them of Christ and their need for Christ, why that Christ had to come. He tells them, he explains three chapters to them why they're a sinner, that they're sinners just like the Jews, like anybody else. He takes time to tell them that there's no excuse not to believe in the existence of God. He proves it throughout the whole book. He compares them to the Jews and how, just like the Jews, they have to believe in God, just like the Romans have to believe in him. He gives a clear presentation of their sin, their existence of God, the purpose of the law, and the need for Christ. So if you found your place in Romans chapter 1, we're starting verse 15. If you wouldn't mind, stand, please. Verse 15, so as much as in me, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Let us pray. Dear Lord, just thank you for this opportunity tonight, Lord. Just ask that you use me to speak to your people, Lord. Help them to be fed, Lord. Help them to go away challenged, Lord. Lord, most of all, if there's someone here that's lost tonight, Lord, that you would simply just save them, Lord. Work on their heart tonight, Lord. If there's anything that we need to get rid of as a church, Lord, any sin, Lord, help us just to confess it tonight, Lord, and just use us in greater ways in 2014, Lord. We ask this all in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So last week we celebrated the birth of Christ. It's the time that the world takes out to celebrate Christmas, and we set aside just to talk about Christ's birth. So with that, I have a question. How did that affect you, and how did that move you to share your faith? Because that's a time when everyone goes to church. You know, they'll simply go if they're just invited. It's a time that people talk about Christmas. It's just the prime opportunity to talk to people about Jesus. So let's jump into this. So Paul tells us in verse 16, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. Now, when Paul speaks, I listen for this reason. He's the one that used to destroy people, persecute the church, and do many other things, so this message would not be proclaimed. But now that he's got saved, he's the one that's willing to defend it and will give his life for this message. So when he speaks, I listen. So let's first examine the gospel of Christ. If you wouldn't mind, turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. And then verse number 1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I have preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand, but which also you are saved, if you keep in memory which I have preached unto you, unless ye have believed in vain. For I deliver unto you first of all that which I have received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture, and that he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scriptures. So simply, we usually remember the gospel by the death and burial of the resurrection. But there's so much more in the gospel. So under the gospel, this is point number one. It is our power to stand. Paul clarifies this in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 1. He says, Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel, which I preached unto you, where also ye have received, wherein ye stand. So if you have received the gospel, you have the power to stand. We have this truth since Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. So this truth is over 6,000 years old. You know, the atheists, they have their evolution and it falls apart. They don't have a stable ground to stand on. All these other truths, all these other religions, they last just a couple hundred years. And they have so many holes in them. They have nothing solid to stand on. But you know what? We have God's word. It's lasted over 6,000 years. It's even been before the foundation of the world, that the Bible says. So we have a truth that we can stand on. You know, they've tried to attack it for years. They've tried to get it out of our schools. They try to persecute us. But guess what? The gospel still stands. So you know what? We have a two-edged sword that we can fight with. The Bible also talks about, I think it's in Galatians chapter 6, we have the gospel armor. Now that covers head to toe. You know what? We're able, because we have the gospel, to stand and fight. Now also with the gospel armor, there's one spot that's not protected on the Christian, and it's actually the back. If you study it out, that's because we're supposed to go forward, not backwards. When you stand upon the gospel, there's no retreating, because you got God to strengthen you. You got his word. You got prayer, and you just keep going forward. You don't retreat. You keep advancing, because you can stand. So secondly, it's the power to save. Verse number 2, 1 Corinthians chapter 15. By which also you're saved, if you keep in memory which I preached unto you, lest ye have believed in vain. So it's the power to save us. Save us from what? Our sins. Things that we did against God's holy word, his law, his standards. You know, simply we could just think of the Ten Commandments, because the Bible says he's written it upon every man's heart. You know, if you've ever stolen something, regardless of the value, you know, whether it's changed from your parents, you stole someone's answer off a test, music off the internet, anything of that nature, that's stealing. You know, the Bible says, thou shalt not steal. That's a sin. You know, if you've ever disobeyed your parents, now I know none of you teenagers have ever done that, right? Yeah, they're all smiling. You know, the Bible ever says, you know, if you've ever lied, if you've ever committed adultery. But you know what? Jesus took that one further. He said, even if you look upon a woman to lust after, you've committed adultery already in your heart. But you know what? That's a twofold one. It goes for the same thing for women. If you've ever looked upon a man to lust after him, you've committed adultery in your heart as well. You know what? Christ, he willingly gives us the gospel to save us from our sins, even though he knows the intents of our heart, how wicked and vile we are inside. He still loved us enough to give us the gospel. If we finish in verse 3, For I deliver unto you first of all that which also I have received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the Scripture. You know, so Christ died for our sins. And after that, he was buried, and he rose again the third day according to the Scripture. So we got the power to stand. It's the power to save, to forgive us of our sins. Third thing under the gospel we see, it's the power over death. And continuing 1 Corinthians chapter 15, if you drop down to verse 55. Now this isn't a physical, this isn't the power of physical death, because that's still a punishment from sin, is to have this physical death. This is power over spiritual death, that we don't have to spend eternity in hell. We don't have to suffer the judgment of God for our sins. Christ paid for that judgment. So verse 55, O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of the law and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful that he gives us the victory and that I don't have to spend eternity in hell. Because you know what? My sins earned me. I earned the right to go to hell. You know, things that I'd done, they went against God's words, God's standard. I earned a first-class ticket to hell. But thanks be to God, which gives us the victory. And he can give you the same victory tonight if you don't know him as your Lord and Savior. He's willing to forgive you of your sins. But all you have to do is repent. It simply means this: stop doing what you're doing, turn the other way, and ask him to forgive you. Now, what prayer to say. You simply need to just tell Jesus and ask him to forgive you. I don't have to teach you how to apologize. You know that. I mean, we learned that as kids. But you know what? It's just got to be straight from your heart, asking him to forgive you. And he'll simply save you. All right, if you'll jump back to Romans chapter 1. The second point. It's the power to everyone that believeth. I'm just going to back up and read verse 15. So much as is in me, I'm ready to preach the gospel unto you that are also in Rome also. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek. I'm so thankful that it's also to the Greek, because that means they're a Gentile. I don't think anyone here is Jewish. Well, at least I'm not. And, you know, that makes me a Gentile. So I'm thankful that it's the power for me as well. So here's the question. Do you truly believe? Now, I took my definition out of Webster's 1828 dictionary. He was a godly man, and he took his definitions right out of the Bible. To believe, to have confidence, or to have conviction in. Now, I've learned a lot being in this church the last 9 years. You know, men have taught me what it means to have convictions, you know, willing to die for. And Paul understood this. He was willing to die for the gospel. That's why he wasn't ashamed. He really believed it with all of his heart. So number A, if we would truly believe, we would share. I'd like to share the story here. In July of 1854, a man by the name of Charlie Pence was to be hung in London. He was a well-known criminal, with choices had finally caught up to him. On the day of his hanging, a ceremony was held by a local church. As Charlie marched through the streets, the people towards the gallows. The preacher was reading from the Bible, saying, "Those who die without Christ experience hell, which is the pain of forever dying without the release which death itself cannot bring." At that, Charlie looked back at the preacher with a piercing look and shouted, "Do you believe that? Do you believe that?" And the preacher was shocked by Charlie's verbal assaults and cautiously answered, "Well, I suppose I do." Then suddenly Charlie said something amazing, "Well, I don't, but if I did, I'd get down on my hands and knees and crawl over all over Great Britain, even if it was paved with pieces of broken glass, if I could just rescue one person from what you've just told me." The lost man got what it would meant to believe the gospel. You would do whatever it takes to share it, even if you had to get all over London and it was paved with glass. If we truly believed the gospel, we'd be out sharing. We wouldn't let anything stop us. We wouldn't be ashamed. I think, secondly, if we truly believe, we would pray more. We would truly pray for the lost. I think we would actually get on our knees and we'd ask God. I think we'd even be begging to save people. 2 Corinthians, if you would turn there, chapter 4. All right, 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 3. "But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded their minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of God, which is the image of God, should shine unto them. For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. For God has commanded the light to shine out of the darkness, and shine in our hearts to give the light of knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ." You know what? This world's blinded. They're blinded by the things in the media, by the things that people tell them, by false teachers, false prophets. You know, and God just simply wants us to send the light out. I think we need to pray that people send the light out. We need to pray for our missionaries. They need, as Brother Stephen was talking about, their hands and their knees need to be strengthened. We need to pray that the Lord would be with them, the ones that are in leadership in the church. But you know what? Even for ourselves, that we would be strengthened to share. That's why we must pray. You know, I think we need to pray, if you have a lost spouse, you need to pray for them. You know what? I think the worst case scenario with that, if you're married to someone that's lost, is that you have a good relationship with them. That, you know what, they even come to church occasionally and they're even great with the kids. But at the end, they die apart from you and they go to hell. That would be the worst case scenario. So teens, when you're looking for a mate in like 10, 20 years, and if you're actually here, 50 years, as a pastor would say, look for someone who's saved and serving in the church. But your kids, if you're an adult, you know, you'd be praying for your kids. I mean, some of you have been praying for your kids for years. Don't give up. The Lord can save them. Just don't give up. Keep praying. You know what? Your family. Your teens, you have family. Guess what? You could probably reach people in your family that your mom or your dad can't reach. You have friends at school. You know, pray for them. Pray that God would save them. You know, us adults, we got to pray for people at work. You know, I'm constantly witnessing to people, and you know what? Sometimes it's hard. You know what? I just keep praying for them because I know the Lord can save them. Psalms 126:5 says this, "They that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him." You know what? If we keep praying, you know, and the Lord sees our tears. The Bible also in Psalm says he sees our tears and he collects them in a jar. But God sees our prayers. He hears them. He sees the tears that we're crying. So don't give up. Be not ashamed to keep sharing your faith. Keep praying for them. You know what? Also, I would think that we would pray for the world. You know, maybe the Lord just will burden you with your city, your school, your workplace. Maybe he'll even burden you for a country. Maybe he'll send you out as a missionary one day. But you know what? We need to be out praying for him. We'd realize the need. There's three things that cry out for us to share our faith. We have Hebrews 12:1 that says there's a great cloud of witnesses that calls out to us. Okay, it says, come here, go to heaven. You don't want to go to hell. This is the better place. We have hell that cries out. We see that in the rich man and the story of the rich man and Lazarus. He says, don't come here, tell my brothers. You know what? Hell's crying out, don't come here, accept Jesus Christ. That should be enough motivation there. We have heaven and hell telling, go there, accept Jesus Christ. But you know what? For every believer, there's also a call inside us. It's the Great Commission. We know that very well. Matthew chapter 20, verses 19 through 20. You know, it's a commandment from the Lord. We know that we're supposed to be out, going out throughout the whole world, sharing our faith. And that's what we all need to be about, sharing our faith. Here's some statistics. I really think this is on the low end. They say that 83 souls a minute die, 4,980 souls an hour, 1,119 and 520 souls a day, 43,624,800. I think that's on the low end. And they say out of those, most of the majority of those go to hell. What are we doing to stop that? How are we going out and sharing our faith? We have to not, cause I think so many times that we're so scared to talk to people. You know, if you're scared to talk to people, there's a gospel track. They're located in the back. Where the TV is in a drawer, just pull them out. All you gotta do is pass them out. You know what? When you're in school, teens, just shove them in someone's locker. Just when you're walking by. I used to do that all the time. No one says anything to you. You know what? Just give them a gospel track. You know, you're going through a fast food, you know, give them a gospel track. You know, you're at a restaurant, leave a gospel track. You're in the bathroom, leave a gospel track. Give them something to read. You know, you're at Walmart. They're the most discouraged people I know. Give them a gospel track. You know what? They have so many different types of gospel tracks. There's even million-dollar gospel tracks. You can make their day. You know what? You realize if we had 100 church members, you know, 7 days a week, just pass out one, we'd reach more than what we did doing the door-to-door. Because we passed out about 5,000. If we did 100 members, pass one out each day, that'd be 5,200. We'd double what we did last year. Now, I think we have 200 church members. By the time that we'd start our summer campaign, we'd reach more than what we did in a normal year. And we have so much potential and so many tools available to us to share our gospel. It's amazing how many things that we have. So number C under this point, we should not be ashamed to tell because of this. Romans 10:11 says this, "For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed." Now I understand that we have fear to share. You know, and it's not always easy to talk to people. Sometimes you see those people like, I don't really want to share with them. But you know what? Sometimes I find out those are the nicest people to share with. You know, they're the ones that have the tattoos, a million piercings. They're nicer than the people with the business suits. You know what? So the Bible says, he's telling us, whoever believeth on him should not be ashamed. We see that throughout all scripture. What does it mean to not be ashamed? It means to be bold, not sorry, shameless. We shouldn't have any shame in sharing the gospel. You know what? Because it's a solid truth. We can stand it. We don't have no reason to be ashamed. Psalms 119:165 says this, "Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them." You know what? When you start getting into God's word, you start memorizing, you start hiding it in your heart, you get a great peace. Because you know what? You realize more and more that God is real, your faith is real, your faith is strengthened, and you fall more in love with this. And guess what? It gives you a peace to share. Because you know what? You have the truth, and you realize that more and more so that God says, share it. He's simply just asking you to not be ashamed and share what he's done for you. Simply just give your testimony. Tell people what the Lord did for you. Tell them how that you were a sinner, and how someone shared the gospel with you and you got saved, and you want to share that same gospel with them. Also, we see in 1 Corinthians 15:31 says this, "I protest by rejoicing which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily." When we realize that we're dead. We're dead to the world. We're dead to sin. Because we have Christ Jesus. He saved us. You can't really offend what is dead. I mean, I don't think, you know, I wouldn't try this, but I mean, I wouldn't go to a funeral and say something to the dead person. They're not going to be offended, though. Simply, when we realize our place, we realize who we are in Christ, realize that we've turned our back to the world, we're dead to them, that they can't offend us. There's no need to be ashamed. I'll give you two examples. Actually, three. Example one I'll give us is Paul. Paul gives this example, if you'll turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. You know, Paul, he was a dynamic preacher. He was a great apostle for the Lord. You know, if we think we're scared to go to our schools, our workplaces, our neighbors, Paul went to the very heart of the world. You know, it was very dangerous for him. But you know what? The Lord said he would protect him. He had a plan for him. His plan was for that Paul would go to Caesar, the household of Caesar. So this is what Paul suffered for the gospel. 2 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 25. "Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck, a night and a day have I been in the deep, in journeyings often, in prevails of water, in prevails of robbery, in prevails of my own countrymen, in prevails by heathens, in prevails in the city, in prevails in the wilderness, in prevails in the sea, in prevails among false brethren. In weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fasting often, in cold and nakedness." Paul suffered many things just to share the gospel. He realized that I don't want what this world has, because Paul had it all. He was set to be number one in the religious organization. You know, Paul would have been set for life. But you know what? Paul realized that this message had to be shared. He couldn't be what he used to be. The Lord completely changed his life. And when you get saved, the Lord does completely change your life. You're not in a life of sin anymore. But you're in a life that's trying to honor and glorify God. Secondly, we also see the example of Deacon Stephen. Acts chapter 7, if you wouldn't mind turning there. Now, what I like about Deacon Stephen, he was bold. He was bold to share his faith. He didn't care what the men of that city would do to him. He knew that he had to share, because that's what the Lord laid on his heart. And then verse 54 of Acts chapter 7. When they heard these things, now the things that they heard was, he was telling them how they were sinners. He took them through the Old Testament, gave them an overview. Now when they heard these things, they were cut to the heart. And they gnashed on him with their teeth, and being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Now guys, when you take a stand, God will take a stand for you. Just remember that. He's always with you. We see that in the Great Commission. In verse 56, and said, "Behold, I see the heavens open and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God." Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at the young man's feet, whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen calling upon God, saying, "Lord Jesus, receive my spirit." And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, "Lord, lay not their sins to their charge." And when he had said this, he fell asleep. You know what? Even through the midst of it all, that he was going to lose his life, and he knew that right then and there. He never recanted. He never apologized. He never was ashamed to share it. He kept sharing it. And in the end, he asked the Lord to forgive him. But you also see that in verse 58, and they cast him out of the city and stoned him, and the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet, whose name was Saul. Now, this is what I truly believe. If Deacon Stephen would have not took a stand, and would have not have shared his faith, and Paul did not, and Saul here did not see the example, we might not have the Apostle Paul. But because he was not ashamed, we see the man here, Saul, who later is converted and becomes the Apostle Paul. See what happens when you take a stand and you're not ashamed? God can change people from your life's testimony. You know, also I think of the unknown and the unashamed, as I call them. Hebrews chapter 11. You don't have to turn there. And they were stoned, and they were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destituted, afflicted, tormented, of whom the world was not worthy, that they wandered in the deserts and mountains and dens and caves of the earth. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever read the Fox Books of Martyrs, but it talks about many Christians who took a stand. They weren't ashamed. They knew that very well that they were going to give their lives. And sometimes we need to be like the unknown and unashamed. You know, persecution may come. Really, in America, we're not to that point yet. Yeah, you'll get their verbal assault. You know, I think the most that's happened to me is I've been looked at straight in the face and spit on. But really, that's nothing. These guys, they were stoned. They were cut with the sword. They were persecuted. Caesar did many wicked things to the people, to the Christians there. Really, if all we have to worry about is, you know, verbal assault, being spit in the face, what are we really ashamed of? Why are we really scared? Our missionaries out in the foreign fields, they're suffering a lot more than we are. So there's three things if you're not sharing. Number one, it's a salvation issue. You know, simply you've not come to the point where you realize that you're a sinner. You can't really share what you don't have. You got it now, if you're not saved, listen. All you got to do is repent of your sins. Just repent, turn to Christ, and he'll simply save you. He's waiting for you. Secondly, I think it's a lack of service. I'm trying to keep them in the three S's. So lack of service. You know, Jesus said, if you follow me, I'll make you fishers of men. If you're not about following him, that means you're not in his word. You're not studying it. You're not reading it. You're not memorizing it. Or you're not serving in the church. There's something wrong, because he's commanded the believer. You know, he said, I'll make you fishers of men. So are you being a fisher's man, or you have a lack of service? If so, it's a sin issue. That brings us to our third point. It's a sin issue. You know, it's really hard to share your faith. It's really hard to share the gospel if there's sin in your life. How can you tell someone, you know, God's word says this wrong, but you're deeply involved in that sin? You know, tonight, if you would just simply repent of those sins, God will still use you. He wants to use you. He wants you to not be ashamed and continue to shine the light and share your faith. So we got two things in closing. All right, if we'll turn back to Romans chapter 1. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation, to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. You know, Paul was unashamed, and you know what? God used that because he wasn't ashamed. You know, Paul wrote this, you know, to those at Rome, and you know what? God let him go all the way to the Caesar's house. Philippians 4:22 says this: all the saints salute you, chiefly. They are of Caesar's household. Paul eventually got to Caesar's household and he shared the gospel to him. Guess what? The very leaders of Rome got to hear the gospel. The gospel knows no boundaries or limits. They may say you can't take it to school, you can't share it. The gospel knows no knows limits. The gospel can go anywhere. It'll go to the deepest, darkest jungle. It'll go to the inner of the deepest, darkest city. It'll go out to the country. The gospel needs to be shared, and God has chosen us to share the gospel. So may we realize that it's time to stop being ashamed, realize that we need to stand upon the gospel, put our gospel armor on, and share. Send the light. Stop letting Satan blind people, because God wants to use us. If I could leave you with one word from Christ, in Matthew 12:30, at the part of the passage he's dealing with rebuking the Sadducees. He leaves them with this: he that is not with me is against me, and he that gathereth not with me scattereth abroad. So are you for or against Christ? So if you're for Christ, it's time that we start sharing. We start that we gathering people and giving them the gospel. So, last thing. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, if I could just beg you to repent of your sins, and I covered that in the beginning, what some sins were, that if you would just repent of those sins and trust Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, make him the King of your life, the Simply Savior.
If you would like more information about our church, you can log on to our website at www.embaptist.com.